Around the NFL Podcast. Dinosaurs are back, and they are not happy.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hensis, and I'm joined in a room that's filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Kanye Fox,
and
Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, Dan.
Hey. It's Thursday. Thursday show. Fresh as a daisy after attending the NFL Talent Summit 2018.
Big hit, I think it was. A huge success.
Whoa. Got to actually hang out with Matt Money Smith, who we just heard. What a guy. I mean, I felt that way before, but, you know,
yes,
I've met him before. I liked him then. I liked him this week as well.
And Money, who, if you don't know, does the vocal at the beginning of every episode. And, Mark, I thought you pointed out very well in your social media posting, which went up immediately. You could always count on Mark to get that thing out there quickly. You pointed out the only person that's been on every edition of the Around the NFL Podcast.
Actually, a couple people. One very good friend of the show, a friend of mine who listens to every episode named Eric Saez out in Minnesota, quickly texted me when that went up and said, "Not true. Matt Money Smith was not on the earliest episodes of this podcast."
Oh.
And I thought, well, this already has like 100 likes.
Yeah.
I'm not taking this down. I'm just going to roll with it.
Remember.
You know,
fake news, bro.
I delivered incorrect news.
So good. And then so I got some tweets off that. It was like, oh, when are you going to have Money on? We've asked Money to come on the pod like 400 times.
He has no
it's
interest.
It's hard to do it.
He's been on a couple of times.
Our podcast?
Yes, he has been on this show. I remember hearing specifically about Austin Seferian Jenkins and Deo and Buchanan when they were coming out for the draft.
Like, are we sure that wasn't the Damashek podcast?
No, he's been on this. It was like 4 years.
Maybe I was in rehab at the time. Maybe I was at Promises in Malibu.
Well, that's happened a couple times, Dan. So,
we're like 700 shows deep. You can't remember.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to catalog every single one. So the summit is this event that's held right by the beach in Santa Monica at a beautiful hotel where everyone that has any type of on-camera presence at NFL Network, all under the same roof, including all the bosses, of course. And it's kind of, Greg, how would you describe it? It's kind of like a big old town hall with a lot of different aspects to it.
It's like going to college with everybody because you're sitting in almost like classes, it feels like, because there's a lot of talks and like you got to be quiet and pay attention and take notes.
Sometimes you get in trouble.
Exactly.
I suspect, other than like the views on some of the talent rooms, you know, were nicer than most hotels. I bet it's pretty typical for like a normal like annual corporate get together. It's just a lot of like 30-minute talks that a lot of the room isn't paying super close attention.
Like Deion Sanders isn't at most of the.
Well, that's what I was. Yeah, I mean, like
I'm saying, but the rest of it is kind of like okay. Then there's some breakout groups, and it's a lot of just sitting there and listening while people are talking at you.
But having had like 25 corporate hideous corporate jobs, they love to do those things. You go to them, and you're sitting next to like Vince from accounting. In this case, you have Michael Irvin 3 feet to your right. You have Deion Sanders to your left, and
Warner.
Chris Wessling, of all people.
Chris Wessling.
Sitting next to Wes.
But, you know,
I was in between Terrell Davis and Tiffany Blackman.
Nice pairing.
It was a star-studded group up front there.
Jane Slater, our Cowboys reporter. She was my buddy. I was sitting next to her. But, you know, we name all these people. But, Wes, there was only one MVP. There could only be one MVP of the summit. And it's a back-to-back winner.
Al Riveron. Al Riveron gave a command performance like a bullfighter, you know, Hemingway watching a bullfighter. I was disappointed that like people didn't throw roses afterwards.
Al is the senior VP of officiating, as you probably know. He took over for Dino Blandino holding the Xbox controller. Gets a lot of heat from fans, but also internally. So they do this thing every year where they have Al come in and talk to all the talent, explain the new rules to give us a better idea of it. And Al just has complete command of the room. And he was so great last year. I kind of liken it to when the Beatles dropped Revolver and then Sgt. Pepper's in 66 and 67.
Came out of nowhere last year. We just had no idea what we were going to get.
So maybe the Beatles isn't a perfect example, but the fact that you could just deliver absolute greatness in back-to-back years, he just shutting down people. And we're talking about legends of the game when they tried to get up in his grill, had an answer for everything. This man is a good
Well, the role is not for a wilting flower. I mean, he is sort of, I feel like I'm watching like a lost episode of The Sopranos with the way he kind of operates in a Tony Soprano manner. But he's an alpha male, and he is going, you know, punch for punch with Hall of Fame football players who are coming at him hard about rule changes and, you know, videos we're watching of tackles and stuff. And it's just like one win after the other for River Run.
And I think Sessler, we had a big group chain going during this whole summit, and I think Sessler was the one who pointed it out that River Run shut down an entire group of whisperers at a table just with a look.
Just with a look. It was insane.
It's, just a glance.
It has that kind of power.
Don't try to change the topic or get in some long-winded question that's not really about you know, the rule that we're talking about.
We got to move on.
You know who you are, people.
Yeah.
And, you know,
there was
he's going to shut you down. And he's going to move on to the next person.
A specific example.
We
will not reveal the identity of the individual because we don't want to do that. Because this is
ultimately a private event.
But one very well-known, prominent media personality stood up and tried to change the direction of the conversation, like we're saying, to the point where this person made their point, stood up, and then went to hand the microphone to some other people to try to change the direction of it all. And River Run, with a wave of the hand, we're not going to do that. And that person sat down and was not heard from or seen from for the rest of the event.
Yeah.
He's so manly, he makes Ron Swanson look like a sniveling Cub Scout.
I'm actually really sad that River Run was not involved in the improv portion of the summit.
Well, let's get to that. Before we get to it, we got some news, and we got a very special guest to do a little World Cup talk. And then, of course, we all know what's coming up at the end of the show. Dave Ealy sitting at 290 to 1 long shot odds to be Wes's best man at Wesseling's upcoming nuptials in 2019. He will get a chance to make a formal pitch to Wes. That's coming up today. But I thought maybe we'd do a quick winners and losers of the NFL Media Summit. And I think a good place to start, Colleen, was a new event this year. They brought in a dude from the UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade, which is a improv comedy troupe. And first of all, Colleen, speaking of MVPs,
hey,
winner.
Amazing winner,
thank you,
Colleen
thank
Wolf,
you.
Who, you know, so much great improv talent was, you know, unmasked at this event. But
history is very rich here.
But Colleen, in a type of a word association game that Mark actually also took part with several other famous people, you really stood out. So a big winner.
Thank you. I think that I've finally overcome my fear of public speaking, and I've just realized it at that moment. I was really nervous. I didn't want to go up there, and then it ended up being like,
you had the toughest assignment, you and MJ, who followed you in basically your same role. Of all the people that went up there, you were asked to do the most difficult.
Well, explain what you had to do.
It was a faux TED Talk that we had to do on a topic that interested us, but we had producers, quote unquote, three of them who were near us and had to basically put words on a whiteboard that we had to work seamlessly into our TED Talk.
But you've taken an improv class, I learned afterwards.
So, yeah, I have.
You know, that was a little bit of a...
Cheater. We do that.
We'd be remiss if we didn't point out Money's play-by-play.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Money was just a natural with Stacey Dales.
They did. And who was it? It was Mooch. Was the had to pretend he was washing, folding clothes. And it was Money and Stacey Dales were doing the play-by-play and color for it. And it was so funny.
They actually had Schrager washing clothes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Mooch was
brushing his teeth.
Brushing your teeth and also vacuuming. Yes. Anyway, it's all silly as it sounds. But that's
great.
Colleen, I thought, narrowly edging Money, who was fantastic as well as the MVP there. Any other winners and losers anybody want to throw out? I have a few, but I'm curious what you guys think.
Ooh.
I'll throw one out at the very end. A sneaky winner.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I would call myself a loser in the sense that we've talked about this a little bit. Well, it really came to light at the very end of the conference, and really more so after I had left and found myself looking at my phone, and we had a big group photo taken. And if you've probably seen it, if you checked out our Twitter accounts or anything at this point, every single NFL media person put it on social media the same exact time, by the way.
Yeah.
But long story short, we were up on this stage, and I'm not a tall guy. So it's like I was stuck behind a bunch of like pro football players and just generally tall people. So I skirted around the crowd to kneel down.
And
I was like, I got to get in this photo. I got to get in this picture. So I snuck around and kind of kneeled down at the corner of the stage. But little did I know, Mike Garofolo, NFL Network reporter, was positioned near me. And I didn't think anything of it at the time, but the way the photo comes out, he had his like left leg poised high up on the stage.
Like a Captain Morgan pose.
A Captain Morgan pose, where he essentially has, you know, his midsection just like sort of shoved into my face.
His boys. It,
right. And
in some countries, you're now his child.
Right.
It was a total power move.
He sunned you.
You know, as alpha male as Al Riveron might have appeared, the photo has me looking very much in the opposite end of the spectrum, just sort of poised near this man with his open groin area in my face.
You have an elven grin on, too. Wow.
Scott Hansen was sitting on Stacey Dales' lap, essentially, on her leg.
You have Wes, like just Wes's head appearing over Rich Eisen's shoulder. Very bizarre looking moment.
The picture
I'm done
is
posing.
Amazing.
Done posing. What? Stop with the posing. Just capture people in their authentic moments.
Another loser, not you, Mark, but connected to people that know your situation. People who thought that getting you and Jim Trotter under the same roof to square away your beef about the Pro Football Writers Association, you being turned away on account of your NFL media connection,
right?
Thought you were going to maybe confront Jim, but that didn't happen.
I talked to him once, and he was pretty delightful, so I didn't feel like it would have been the right vibe to go down that road in the middle of like a crowded hallway.
A winner, Greg Rosenthal. NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal sitting in the front row.
One small step for man, one giant what in the hell. Is that NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal?
Front row.
That was on your radar saying, like, right away.
You were saying the front row was a positive thing?
I think so. It's better than the back
row. Greg wasn't happy about it.
It's tough.
Colleen was right in the front.
It's tough.
But Colleen hosts like 14 shows. It's a good.
Right, but I don't think the rankings of it wasn't like ranked in importance. It's like Deion Sanders, like all the big time people were not in the front row.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
I thought it looked good. Mm-hmm. You're right in front of like the head of our company the whole time, and
that only means you have to be paying attention the whole time, though, which is very tough.
We had an old unlikable boss who had that comment he made about the newsroom. What was it? It was. You have to pass the eye. You know, you want the eyeball test. Was it? You want to always be seen.
I don't remember this, but you know,
you're such a careerist. Like I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I honestly don't. I know who you're talking about, but pretty much anything you said is long gone from my memory.
Okay, another winner. If you got to stay at the hotel, we obviously drove to the proceedings or Ubered because we're right here in LA. The talent that got to fly in got to stay at this luxury hotel. And for the men specifically, after the Tuesday portion of the event wrapped up and led to the happy hour dinner fest, all those guys, they went up to their hotel rooms and they changed into their cool shirts and maybe picked up their shades and returned to the bungalow bar area.
Yeah, that's true.
Big
I was jealous.
Emma, we didn't get a chance to do that.
Very much a class system scenario there.
I came prepared.
I mean, Schrager comes back downstairs and he looks like Fonzie. It's like it was a whole transformation.
It was a nice move. Yeah. A lot of power moves. That was another wave of power movements by these media types.
That's about all I got. It was nice.
Those were good.
It's good. It's fun. Oh, and 1775 Hank, by the way. Henry Hodgson, his family's away right now. And what have we seen from Henry since his family left? He came to your house, Wes.
Stopped by, had a drink.
Built a desk with you?
Yeah, built my desk
really?
For me. Yeah.
The next day, what do you see, Mark?
Well, I did see some family members with him, so I'm not sure if he was in full 1770. Right. But he was. I took my family on a Father's Day hike, and like out of nowhere, as I'm texting you guys, hearing about him coming over to your place, out of the forest comes Henry gallivanting with his children. I just thought this guy's everywhere.
Oh, so maybe he didn't have full freedom yet. But then he looked
free to me.
And then he was on fire at the party, the after party, staying late and, you know, having a good time. That's why I call him 1775 Hank, because it's the year before things get tightened up. This is the old Henry we didn't get to see.
He closed it down. He rode home with me and Lakeisha.
What a man.
Yeah.
And you wanted to put a bow on it, Wes?
A little sneaky winner. The Around the NFL podcast was mentioned maybe for 3 seconds of the whole 2 days, but you would think that would make you a loser. But here's why we're a subtle winner.
Okay, let's
that
hear
we're
this.
There at
the
all.
Point was driven home. The entire raison d'etre for the network to exist is access to players. The name of the show is Total Access. This point was driven home. We have zero access to players, and we've been on the air for almost 6 years. That makes us a sneaky winner. Mm. We've been able to exist in a place that only exists for access
don't let them
to players.
Know this.
plus with far more listeners than the other shows.
Reason Dieter, right? Yeah.
Plus with far more listeners than the other shows who have ex-players on him.
One real quick sneaky winner attached to that. In the very brief time we were mentioned, of the hundreds of episodes we've done together, And the tons of photos that have been piled up of our show in this studio and in remote locations, the only photo they chose of our group was when we were with Little Debbie. And yes. I did hear behind the scenes that there was someone somewhere was partially convinced that that was just Colleen.
Dressed up like a rapper.
It feeds into
guys, it's me.
That longtime conspiracy theory that Lil Debbie is not a Oakland-based rap artist. It's in fact just Colleen
it's just
wearing
Colleen.
Raiders gear and with hoop earrings.
I busted out laughing when they put that on the slide.
All right, so there you go. That was the Media Summit. Great times.
One last thing on that. I've compiled this list of corpo buzzwords from.
Oh yes.
Would you like me to sprinkle them in?
Oh my God, really?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Do you want to try to speak?
I thought you were going to talk about the catch rule.
No.
I'm just happy that Riveron talked about the catch rule. And your head didn't explode.
I thought the catch.
I'm happy with where the catch rule is at.
You know what I'm nervous about getting back to Riveron for a second. He explained now if you're a quarterback and you dive forward. It used to be if you slide.
That was messy.
They mark you down as soon as you hit and you don't get forward progress until you get touch. Now that rule applies if you dive forward, which I think is going to cause a lot of trouble.
Like if you just lose
or
your
trip.
Balance.
Like the Matt Ryan video that kept showing.
Yes. There were some rules takeaways that when they really went over the kickoff, it really hit me how incredibly different it's going to be and how many different rules are involved. And all I was thinking as a Pats fan was like, Belichick is going to find the holes in this.
Oh, game. He's
going to. Because there's a lot going on there, and there's no one that knows special teams more than him. And it's like completely different rules that I think he'll take it.
He's going to slice and dice for sure.
He's going to enjoy it. And they're really trying to save the kickoff. People think it's inevitable that the kickoff's going away, but I think they are dead set on figuring out a way to keep it.
Wes, let's hear some corporate buzzwords before we get to the news.
Number one, piggy bank of credibility.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, you got to have a piggy bank of credibility or else when you need to take something out, you won't have anything left.
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly the meaning. Yep.
Keep it platform agnostic.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if you have a podcast, don't think this is only going out to ears. It's also going out to eyeballs.
I like that one. What else we got?
Understand the power of unstructured data.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yep.
Oh, we knew that.
Makes my
eyes
bleed.
That's in the steel trap now.
What else?
Pulling on levers in the marketing funnel.
That's just a little confusing. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just a little confused by that one.
I felt bad for the marketing section of it because like everyone went to the bathroom when that started. It was just like a sea of
tough
people
sell.
Standing
it's
up.
A tough sell. What else we got, Wes?
As somebody who's been at the tip of the spear of this process.
Oh, no.
Just doesn't seem right.
That was one of my favorites.
What does that mean, by the way?
I think you're at the point of pain. You've been at the point
of... Oh, I like that.
Oh, really? I thought it would mean you've been at the point of pain.
No, I think you're right.
Oh, okay. Is it like being in the... We're in the jackpot?
I think the opposite
you're
of
you're in
jackpot.
The jackpot now.
It's like being in the crucible.
Like you're the one who's the spear is cutting.
What else we got, Wes?
Casual... In Jan-Feb drop. Not in January, February.
Jan-Feb.
Back in Jan-Feb.
Okay. Abbreviations. I like that. Yeah. What else? Saves time.
This is great.
In relation to our unexpected growth in 2016-17 at a time when the TV industry itself is regressing.
Very nice year for the network.
We are defying gravity.
Oh, yeah, we are.
That's
right.
We should start using these. Let's try to use these throughout.
Okay.
Please.
I need a... list.
What else we got?
I think that's about it. Hopefully I'm not sounding like the fun police was one of the quotes.
No, you missed just a couple. There's no way to silver bullet this.
Oh, no silver bullets, yeah.
No silver bullets. And X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
X, Y, and Z.
I didn't want to go X, Y, Z.
Okay.
Might offend some of our British listeners.
Let's do some news.
We're Mississippi State fans. We're so excited to be here in Omaha at the College World Series. The sacrifices that we personally made to be here are incredible. My wife's boyfriend sold his prosthetic leg on Craigslist to afford me the opportunity to be here. But they get alone time, and I get a chance to be in Omaha.
I saw this.
Lindsay, you want to provide a little background there?
Yeah, I was just a Mississippi State fan talking about going to the College World Series.
It's good to catch up with him.
I like that justified it so well. It was like, listen, he loses the leg, but he gets private time.
Would your wife's boyfriend do that for you?
I don't know. That's quite a...
Greg, you wear the pants in your act. Scenario. How would that, play out?
I would need new pants.
You wear the prosthetic leg in your relationship?
Sure.
All right, let's start with big news out of Tampa and bad news for the Buccaneers and their fans. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Jameis Winston will be suspended 3 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy at the time of this taping. The league hasn't made it official, but Schefter has the report on this. This is connecting to an incident in March of 2016 where Winston allegedly groped an Uber driver. So he has not faced any charges connected to the incident, but as we've learned in the NFL, the legal justice system and the NFL justice system exist mutually, so exclusively of each other. So there's no, did I say that right?
You did, exclusively.
Yes, exclusively. So they could still do it, and the NFL has decided to punish Jameis Winston, so I'm sure, Greg, an appeal is coming here. But Winston, as of now, looks like he's heading toward a ban to start the season. Terrible news for the Bucs, especially when you look at their schedule.
Right off the bat, they face the Saints, Eagles, and Steelers.
It's a playoff run.
They all won their divisions, and I don't tend to put too much into strength of schedule for the season, and who knows how these teams are going to look. But at least just for the teams that they played last year, it is literally the toughest 3-game stretch in the Super Bowl era in terms of strength of schedule. The next closest, the 76 Patriots had a very tough 3-game stretch to start. So it's about as tough as...
I remember that team.
So if his appeal doesn't work, this is basically saying if that 3-game stretch, you are not going to have your breakout season that everybody thought that you might have last year. And now I think the Bucs are strong this year, but I won't pick them to make the playoffs with that 3-game stretch to open.
I agree, and you have a coach in Dirk Cutter, I think is the one guy you outside of Hugh Jackson that you wonder why he's even still there after what happened last year, that he was already on shaky turf, and now you open the year with this rugged schedule and without your starting quarterback.
Ryan Fitzpatrick in 3 shootouts possibly.
And Ryan Griffin will have a chance to win that job, I think, in training camp. He had a chance a year ago. A couple things. One, he could get it reduced, maybe down to 1 or 2 games. Who really knows? Like, that's a possibility. Two, football's a complicated game, Wes. As you know, like, removing Winston, to me, doesn't remove any chance they have to win. Ryan Fitzpatrick, for all his problems, went 2-1 as the start. The Bucks won 2 out of 3 games with Fitzpatrick as a starter, and you can do the
math. Fair.
We're not very good with Winston as the starter. Fitzpatrick in one of those games looked great. The one of them, he looked terrible. It was
We know what Fitzpatrick can do when he's on. I mean, you say Ryan Griffin could win the job. I feel like he'd have to blow them away and really, I know they like him, but he'd have to really earn their trust to start the season ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They like him enough to cut him, which they've done before.
Well, I'm only saying that because at the time that he had a season-ending injury a year ago, the belief in Tampa was Fitzpatrick was not going to make the team and that Griffin was going to be the backup. I would still think Fitzpatrick is the favorite.
He got hurt, as I recall, on Hard Knocks last season. And let's face it, we should have seen this coming because Ryan Fitzpatrick always finds a way into the lineup at some point in every NFL season, and it will be this way until the end of time. It's going to happen again.
Dan, you're the Hard Knocks guy. I mean, the league has to be counting its blessings that this isn't the year the Bucks are on Hard Knocks with this simmering.
Well, he would have still been part of the whole.
It's a bizarre narrative because he was a very celebrated character in that 4 or 5 week stretch.
It's interesting too that this story has been so under the radar. It's 2 years old. He was someone that came into the league with some concerns about what he had done at the college level, and now in a really big year for both Dirk Cutter, who's trying to keep his job, and Jameis Winston, who I think is going to get that second contract, but we talked about on this podcast, like this is a year he's got to kind of step up, and there's a lot of great players around him on offense in Tampa.
And I'm not sure our audience knows how long the long arm of the NFL law is, that they have connections. Most people in their security department are former military, high up CIA, FBI. They have connections in every city. They found something on Jameis Winston here. He did something wrong, and that's why he's suspended.
And our own reporting from Rap Sheet at the time of this taping, that Winston has not been notified of his suspension, but the expectation is that he's off the field several games. And the next circumstance, if there is one for Winston, and let's face it now, there is a pattern of behavior going back to college with this guy. You can't rule anything out. It would be a one-year suspension. So Winston and the Bucks are going to have to deal with this, and it probably won't be pleasant. Moving on, Cleveland Browns quarterback and number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, went through the Fox car wash today, Thursday, and a part of one of his stops was on Colin Cowherd's show on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Cowherd, apparently, I'm not a big Cowherd guy in terms of following his career or his active work, but apparently he's been critical of Mayfield for some time, leading through the draft process, and you know, having issues with some of Mayfield's off the field dealings, and also the way he carries himself on the field at Oklahoma, blah blah blah. Anyway, Mayfield goes on Cowherd's show, and during the conversation, Cowherd decides to run a clip of a Oklahoma touchdown from last season, in which after throwing the pass for the score, Mayfield runs in the other direction and away from the celebration with teammates. Cowherd tries to go after Mayfield, and Mayfield returns fire.
I don't like this. I'm going to tell you right now. How come you're not – what? Where are you going over there?
Our band is over there. Our student section's right there. And then straight back to our sideline.
What about your teammates?
Did you watch the rest of the game?
I watched the whole game.
You did? So you saw me celebrate with my teammates like the three touchdowns before that too?
I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You pulled the one clip of me running right there to our fans and people that traveled well to that game, first of all. And then you didn't show the rest of the clip of me going to our sideline?
No. You have to go to the sideline. You're not going to go to the hospital. Well, where are you going to go after the touchdown? You're not going to go.
But you're acting like I just ran away from everybody.
Well, you did, but then you came back and circled to the sideline.
This is a 5-second clip of your showing me, and then I'm off the screen right there.
I'd like you to be with your teammates.
Watch the rest of the game. I was.
Thanks, Dad.
And you would think Colin Cowherd, sensing that Baker Mayfield was prepared for this and kind of shut you down, would back off. But I guess Cowherd at that point in the moment was a little in too deep, so he didn't give up.
Oh, I know you went back to the sideline.
No. Go watch the other touchdowns. I got very excited on that one.
So you think my accusation that this isn't great.
I feel like you're going for the fact that I'm not a team guy. I'm selfish. Is that what you're shooting at right here?
I don't think that. I think sometimes your judgment's just a tad off, and I think the NFL's a judgment league because the game is so fast. Mm-hmm. You have to make the windows get really, really tight and really, really small. You got to make decisions really, really fast.
In college,
you got that Orlando Brown guy, got a little more time. I don't love that decision. I don't love it.
The celebration? Do you see what people do in the league now, celebration-wise?
Hip thrusting, not a fan.
Oh, my God.
Your thoughts, Mark.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I, like, when they drafted him, because in the past, I've immediately, without any logic, fallen head over heels for Colt McCoy. I named my child Colt. I mean, let's start with that scenario.
Woof.
Great kid, though. It's a good kid and a good
name. Great name.
It's a good name. But, like, I fell for Brandon Whedon before he played. And it's like, I've been really cautious this time around with Baker Mayfield. It's like, I'm just going to let this unfold as a Browns fan the way, naturally. Let me see what he actually does on the field. But there's something I've noticed following him, especially on Instagram, where he does a lot of Instagram story. His girlfriend, Emily Wilkinson, who's like got her whole own life of her own, and she's incredibly smart, is posting about him. And the two of them, like, he is a guy's guy. I love this dude. I love his whole persona. When you go and dig into this thing that Cowherd's trying to go after him on, his teammates loved him. They adored him. And I totally buy the fact that that was a road game. Those fans traveled to that game, and he went up first to them, to the band.
One touchdown out of like one six.
I think it's like you're digging for this. And Baker Mayfield, who has been hearing this for months and months, will not put up with it. I really like the makeup of him. I think he is a fascinating guy. And I know the whole pre-draft process kept dinging him and focusing on how great other quarterbacks were and stuff. It's like we're getting different types of personalities
quarterback. I mean, you're making the point, Mark, that I think Colin Cowherd and a lot of other people got paid and had their careers jump or just had some of their best radio because Johnny Manziel was such a disaster. So it's like you see what he's trying to do in this instance, and it's like, well, you're trying to make him Manziel, but they're not the same people. It's not the same situation, and I think Mayfield handled himself incredibly well.
I think our favorite quarterbacks over the years are swashbucklers. They have derring do. As Johnny Unitas once said, I wasn't a quarterback until I could tell my coach to go to hell. That's the type of personality we want in a quarterback, and Baker Mayfield has it in spades. He has my favorite personality of any young quarterback in football.
Coward's just pulling all the curmudgeon levers at this point. Because, like, you hear what he's saying, and you're like, well, like, he just sounds like such he says, I want you to be with your teammates. And then he starts telling Baker about what the NFL is like. The windows get smaller, and things get, like,
which
what?
Had nothing to do with that.
He was in the weeds at that point.
And he also said, like, it's like this dad who thinks he should be making judgments on a behavior of, like, a quarterback. It's absolutely outrageous. But it's just one of many things that he's probably said on his 4 hours of radio that you have to fill up with something, and you end up just trying to create characters, like Dan said. It's like, okay, this is the bad guy, this is the good guy, and most of it is total nonsense, and it's refreshing to hear an intelligent young quarterback come and point out that nonsense. He showed up to the interview. I mean, he came ready to go. This wasn't just happened to come up. Baker Mayfield came to the interview with a sweatshirt that said, in quotes, undraftable on it, which was in reference to what Colin Cowherd had called him previously. And so he came just wanting to knock him down. I love it.
I love that he keeps tabs on all of the slights against him.
The most egregious part from Cowherd's point of view is it's disingenuous. He doesn't even believe what he's saying. Like, it's totally playing up drama for a radio show. And then you're really just encouraging, like, the worst of human instincts if you do that, because you know that there is a section of fans who think they can read Baker Mayfield and think he's not a good teammate because they saw that one play, and he's just playing up to them.
It's good radio, though. I'll give him that.
It's good radio on Baker Mayfield's side.
Right, but
I would never listen to that radio host again.
I would also say not to defend Cowherd, but Cowherd badmouthed Mayfield and then at least had the guts to have him on the show.
And then came at him with a lack of good faith in his own argument.
He probably had to have him on the show, though, because isn't Baker Mayfield's docuseries coming out on Fox?
I don't know. I don't know the internal workings. I'm just saying, I think it worked out for everyone because we get to talk about it and we get to see a side of Baker Mayfield we like, and Cowherd gets stinked.
And that's in the Browns. Yeah. And when they took him number one, and everyone thought, oh, the Browns, they've messed up this draft. You obviously needed to go with quarterback X, Y, or Z, and you went with Baker
yes,
Mayfield.
Ding, ding.
Well, here's the thing. They talked about number one. They loved his mental makeup and who he was and who they got to know over that process. So it's like, we're seeing it play out. It gives me a little bit more trust in what they did.
Yeah, I mean, and frankly, like, they weren't the only team. I think the Jets, if the reports are accurate, they wanted Baker Mayfield. There were many teams that did. The media, we were slow to know that.
Yep.
Should have taken Sam Darnold, though. He's going to be.
All right. We'll figure that out.
Baker Mayfield, nice little personality. He's going to be a great analyst.
We'll figure that out in week 3.
He's going to be a great analyst.
No, I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield. I am. I really do. You know that. I hope he kicks ass.
Well, we are looking for a massive AFC power shift that has the Patriots going about 2-14 9 years in a row, and the Jets and Browns meeting in the AFC title game 9 years in a row.
Exactly.
Platform agnostic.
Finally in the news.
That doesn't even make sense.
I don't get a ding for that one. I just sort of shoved that in there.
There's no silver bullet to getting the Jets.
That's true.
That hot take could be platform agnostic, though. You know, you could put that anywhere.
Like in Jan Feb, probably, is best.
Finally in the news, I didn't realize this. It makes sense that Monday Night Football, ESPN, rebooting the whole thing. That included parting ways with poor Jerry Austin, who was overwhelmed for several years as the rules analyst on that program, and routinely seemed to, like, what Mike Garofalo did with you, Mark, is what Gruden did to Austin for years on that program, which surprised me that he joined the Raiders in an advisory role, Jerry Austin. He's out
of
the picture. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Gruden hired him.
Yeah.
So they must have been buddies.
He took a consulting role with the Raiders.
Jerry Austin always seemed vaguely surprised that he was on television.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They would like
not a great quality.
They would like go to him and he'd be like, whoa. like wait.
That movie 50 First Dates with Drew Barrymore where every day like she didn't remember anything.
Yes.
That was Jerry Austin every time they threw it to him. It was like, wait, why am I here? Yeah,
it was always like a moment of like, oh, we're doing this. Oh, okay.
Anyway, so Jerry Austin's out. Someone else had to be hired, and reportedly, this according to who did report this? Football Zebras?
Yes.
All right. Reported that Jeff Triplett, who retired 6 months ago after a fairly disastrous playoff game that ended his career, he's slated to join ESPN as a rules analyst along with Joe Tessitore and Jason Witten in the booth. That is a Football Zebras also learned that the NFL specifically steered ESPN to hire Triplett. Interesting. He'll replace Jerry Austin, who was there since 2012. This led to a lot of, you know, derision, some sniping on social media because Jeff Triplett, Wes, did not have the greatest reputation as an official.
If you could draw up, like, the perfect candidate to never have this opportunity, it would be Jeff Triplett. He's unqualified in just about every way. First of all, Al Riveron, the best part of the Al Riveron discussion was him acknowledging and pointing out, I don't have to tell you guys, we're in the entertainment business. This isn't about being on the camera too long for an official or being under the hood too long. Get it over with. Make fewer calls. Get the entertainment out there. Jeff Triplett had like a secretariat-like lead on every other official for players kicked out, penalties thrown, most time on camera, most mistakes. Jeff Triplett also never made a confident call in his life. When he makes a call, he bumbles the wording. He can't get it out. He can't communicate. And now they're going to ask him to explain calls that he couldn't explain when he was doing the job.
He was also on the grassy knoll in Dallas in 63.
Oh!
He's going to make Mike Carey look like Walter Cronkite. Wow.
So you don't like the hire?
He's just totally... I mean, it's like if you could... Wait. If you're ESPN and you're in a meeting, you're like, well, who would be the worst one we could have to do this? Triplett? Well, why not? Let's try it.
It's a controversial hire.
I can't wait to see it because I feel like it is going to be just a giant dumpster fire.
That's entertaining to me. I now like it just for the Wes angle.
Yeah.
We've got Wes fired up.
Because yeah,
Mark pulled up, I found an old tweet of Mark's.
Oh, no.
From September 2017. Best subplot of this night, Chris Wessling's unhinged disdain for Jeff Triplett and his overly officious.
Yeah, we've been here before.
That's when you were. That was right after my surgery when you guys were at our apartment watching the game.
That's right.
And I was probably just going off on Triplett in like a post-cancer haze.
This is perfect.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this couldn't be
That only
better.
Got 11 retweets. I think that needed more attention, that tweet.
Wow. So there you go. Triplett reportedly taking over for Austin, and Chris Wessling is going to be following this extremely closely.
I already have a list of reasons not to watch ESPN, so just add this.
I mean, Wes typically covers Monday Night Football for the site, so... this will be an interesting.
You're not watching it.
I mean, you think I track kicker battles closely? Wait till you watch Wes tracking every time they throw it to Triplett.
I mean, I think you underestimate my ability to not watch stuff.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. All right, we promised a very special guest, a mystery guest. But of course, if you're a longtime listener to the show and you know that these guys don't really know their soccer. They don't know nothing.
Who, us?
No doubt.
Know
it. But there's one person in the history of the Around the NFL podcast that was extremely knowledgeable of the sport. In fact, he's made his life. His life surrounds the game now. The beautiful game. I know that. Humble brag. That's what they call it. It is, of course, one of our favorites of all time. He's on Mount Rushmore. He is the gold standard, Zach Goldman, and he's here for a little World Cup NFL talk. Yeah, Zachy.
Yeah, baby. Can't wait.
What's up, man? We caught you. You're back from Russia, right? You were at the World Cup.
I was at the World Cup. I'm back from Russia. I have a little cold, so I apologize for my voice. But no, not too worse for wear. Having a great start to the tournament. How are you guys?
Very well. Great to hear.
It is great to hear Gold Standard's voice. It's been a while.
One thing about Gold Standard's voice, and we haven't heard it in a while, even with a chest cold or a head cold or whatever you're battling, your little C, just such a kind voice.
Oh, listen, man. You're too kind. That's what I say. Dude, this is great.
A love fest.
Thank you guys for having me.
How was Russia before we get to the rest of it?
It was good. It was good. It was really fun. I think, like, for the tournament, it was kind of interesting because you have so many different cultures kind of descending on this place that I think a lot of people never thought they would get to go to. I've been there a couple times, but I did not spend a lot of time there at all. And it was just kind of a surreal period of exploring a new culture that I knew very little about, couldn't read any signs, and, like, just met a lot of really interesting people and kind of heard their story and heard a lot about a place that I really knew very, very little about before.
What's the food like?
Yeah,
there?
What's the nightlife, the food? I mean,
the food is tremendous. It's kind of like, it's like very heavy meals of, like, doughy meat and potato dishes, which are right down my alley.
Yes.
I had a couple very suspicious vodka pours from very large gentlemen who wouldn't let me not drink vodka. That was a little scary.
Suspicious in what way, Zach? Was it just, like, the quantity or?
It was in many ways. It was like just like unmarked bottles of what I thought. It was sort of like, is this water or is this vodka? And I knew the answer was going to be vodka. obviously, because of the size, unless we were doing water shots. But no, it was pretty interesting. Like, we went to a lot of, like, hole-in-the-wall restaurants where I did not know what I was ordering. And
a lot of goulash. A lot of goulash, you know.
A lot of goulash.
A lot of borscht, you know.
Borscht.
Oh.
Very good.
Super fun.
Well, of course, Zach, no one knows more about the beautiful game than you do.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And we need help, obviously. But so this is not going to be some overview or you giving us a crash course so much as we're going to take our NFL knowledge, and where you lack in NFL knowledge and where we lack in soccer knowledge, we're going to try to connect the dots here. And
love it.
Based on the way that the segment is set up, it could go horribly wrong, because if both sides don't know about something that's central to the conversation, how does the segment work? I don't know.
It feels like a very high possibility of that happening.
But so, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, well, I set the tone during my tenure there of, like, very half-baked ideas turned into segments that didn't quite pan out, and you guys typically save the day. So I feel like we can just do that for old time's sake. It sounds pretty
far too humble.
Yeah, in honor of Zach, I've come up with a half-baked idea, and now we're going to try to make it work. So this is what we're thinking. So with the World Cup currently going, are we still in the group stage one?
Yeah, yeah. Still in the group.
Group
yeah.
one? What is it called?
It's like OTAs?
Group stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Match of the group stage.
Eight? That's perfect. So nobody's eliminated yet.
A couple teams, very small teams are, but
they still have another game to play, but there's a few that are mathematical.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Got it.
United States eliminated?
Yes, and we're going to touch on the United States team. So what we're thinking is taking some of the big names, some of the big countries that are in this event, and Zach is going to, with his soccer knowledge, give us kind of an overview of what the team is, kind of a general, like, characteristics connected to the team, and then we will then lean on our NFL knowledge. And we take the baton and we try to connect which team in the World Cup connects with NFL teams heading into 2018. The premise is decent. Like, on paper,
it
could work.
Are you convincing yourself?
Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to be able to pull it off.
This is like the Chargers of a segment. On paper, it's great.
Exactly. All right, so, Zach, why don't we start, since we do have so many English listeners, why don't we start with England? Give us a little overview of what this squad is all about.
Sure. Well, England's interesting. I think just, like, on a broader level, obviously the heritage of the game in so many ways comes from England. Massive, massive soccer culture. They won one World Cup in 1966 on home soil, which is obviously a very big deal. But since
I remember that from Mad Men.
Do you? Okay.
Well, yeah. That's how I knew.
So they've got amazing tradition around the game, but typically tournaments tend to result in heartbreak. This time they've got a really exciting young team, which is really cool. I don't know. It's sort of like this never-ending hype machine around the team. Like, people are super negative up until the tournament, then everyone starts to buy in and believe, and then it tends to not work out for them.
All right, and
I'm gonna hear from that on Twitter. I'm gonna hear about that.
Who does that sound like to you, ladies and gentlemen?
Chargers?
I'll throw one out there because Zach suggested it, and I kind of like the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, you're talking. There was these incredible high moments. There's a history of and a heritage of glory.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And it's been a bit of a rough road.
Yes. And far too much attention in general.
I like it.
Compared to, you know, their chances of winning the cup, or at least their history of winning the cup. They and it's partly because we're here in the States. They probably don't get as much attention everywhere. But
It's funny. We just had a conversation, Wes, where you were saying how, you know, the Cowboys get way too much pub, and a lot of people feel the same exact way. And in my mentions, after we happened to be doing the pod when England won their World Cup match on Monday, I think it was, people hitting me up on Twitter like, ah, don't bring up England. They get way too much coverage as is. That's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. Are we cool with that, Wes?
I was thinking either Packers or Bears, because they were there at the beginning and people talk more about their history than their present.
I like that a lot.
Too. Maybe the Bears, because basically George Halas was running the league for forever, and he was there at the founding of it. I don't know.
And the Cowboys have a chance in the NFC if everything breaks right this year. England, can they win?
I'm going to do the diplomatic thing and say, yes, it is possible. I don't think that they will. I think this is a really talented team that can get to the quarterfinals or so, but they're sort of one cycle away. I think in 4 years they'll be really interesting to watch, because they've got a lot of like really good young players from like 17 to 21 or so, and they're not quite in the national team yet, but I think a lot of people have a lot of hope for them.
Interesting.
One cycle away, the England soccer team away. Story.
How about another team, Zach?
Let's do it. How about Spain? Spain's kind of an interesting one. They're, you know, for so many years they were considered really talented chokers. You know, in major tournaments they would be seemingly pretty stacked, but would never kind of get where they needed to go. And then all of a sudden they broke through in 2008, really, during the European Championships. They won the 2010 World Cup. And then, since then, they've been pretty much a powerhouse. Obviously, they went out in the group stage last time in the World Cup, but they're a super talented team front to back.
Is that the Patriots?
I was going to say, sounds like the Philadelphia Eagles.
I would take that.
I like that one. Yeah, the Goldmans.
They're here to stay.
Finally break through after years.
There's a creativity to their playing style.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
That works for me.
Exactly.
And they're known as talented chokers. I mean, the Eagles, years and years, could not get over the hump and lost all those Andy Reid playoff games.
Yeah.
Well, one question. You're saying that Spain won a while back?
They won 2010. I
believe. The only thing this kind of reminds me of a little bit is the Packers, because they won in 2010. They're extremely talented and have been all along, but I can't think of a team that's choked more in the playoffs with insane fizzle-out scenarios.
I like that.
Watch out.
Nice.
The Packers just came from behind, took the lead.
All right.
One saw it coming.
Let's do another one.
What about France and Mbappe? Is that his name?
Ooh. Yeah, Mbappe. Very good. Totally. That's a hard one. I mean, France is a really exciting team that I think – people are really frustrated about the coach, Didier Deschamps. He hasn't really put together the pieces in the correct way, but people are really excited about the amount of talent they have. I mean, they've left so many good players at home because they literally can't fit them all into the squad. Just their attacking talent is kind of next level. I defer to you guys on that one, but I think, they have a kind of a pipeline of incredible attacking players. It doesn't look like slowing down anytime soon.
It sounds a little
Pittsburgh
bit like
Steelers.
Ah.
We always say they have the best roster in the league.
Bingo.
And then everyone spends time wondering why Mike Tomlin can't beat Bill Belichick.
I was going to say the Falcons offense because of Shanahan. Just if you focused on the offense.
Would you consider them a likable team, Goldman? Some buzz, you know, that maybe the Steelers. Okay, they are a likable team. I don't know if the Steelers are like America's team right now. Not a bunch of sweethearts.
Maybe not.
Well, give us another team, Zach.
Alrighty.
How's this going? Well, let's.
I like it.
It's halftime.
Little halftime performance review.
You're moving along.
This
is good. I feel like for me, I'm like very close to dangerously being found out by the audience right now.
Or us.
I just like hearing Goldstander's voice. That's the main purpose behind this.
For me, this is so pleasant.
All right, we're back from half. Commercial free. Belgium.
All right.
Belgium is a team that you wouldn't normally put in kind of the top tier of global soccer nations, but everyone's kind of waiting for them to explode onto the scene. Obviously, they've got a tremendously stacked team at pretty much every single position, but none of those players have really coalesced into anything for the national team. They got to the quarterfinals of the World Cup last time. They were eliminated in pretty embarrassing fashion by Wales in the last European Championship. But basically what they are is they've got a great defense and kind of a stacked young core of players who have finally come of age, but no one's sure if they can get all the way to like a World Cup final yet.
This was a no-brainer.
Well, I don't know about embarrassing exit from the playoffs, but how about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Got to be the Jags.
Yeah, Jags.
Everything connects there. And Gold Standard also put that together in our pre-production meeting.
I did a lot of Googling right before.
Home run.
He did a nice job. That's clearly Belgium is the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give Gold Standard some credit for how he's describing these teams. Because he's drawing parallels to NFL.
Does Belgium have like a really bad like goalkeeper that's holding the team back or something?
Not a bad goalkeeper, but they have a coach who's really interesting. I don't know how this one fits out.
Doug Marrone?
But they've they've got Roberto Martinez, who everyone thinks he's a super smart, like really articulate guy. But no one's actually sure if he's a good coach or not. I don't know if that fits.
That's not really helping the Jaguars scenario too much. So.
What I'm getting from you, though, Zach, is that despite your professed appreciation of your time with us, not necessarily still a regular listener of the Around the NFL podcast, hasn't been keeping up with American football too much.
I go in waves. Every now and again, I check in. I have no – it's my faith in you guys, you're doing such an incredible job without me that, like, I just don't
great answer.
Well done.
Wow. Perfect answer. All right. Let's time for two more because I want to get to the U.S. last. But we should discuss the defending World Cup champions. Is defending a word? Do they use that in World Cup terms? Okay, good.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it.
The defending champs.
So, Germany. I don't know how one would describe them. I guess throughout history, they've just kind of been this ruthlessly dominant soccer power. I know exactly who we're picking for this already, but they're machine.
Deeply unlikable?
Deeply unlikable.
It's like Malkovich is doing this. They're a machine marching on.
The Germans.
I can't imagine who we're picking for this.
Do they kind of exist almost on a throne of ease within that culture?
Throne of ease for sure. I think there's probably a boss somewhere in the German soccer news office. They've got a coach, Yogi Love, who's like basically every time he loses a player, like last time when they won the World Cup, a ton of like the core of the squad left.
Yeah.
And then he found dudes just like young players in the German league who seamlessly fit into the team.
Like
I think this is falling into place.
Some undersized slot receivers.
A lot of undersized whites.
So definitely the LA Rams right now. Go ahead.
Yeah. And they cheat every once in a while?
Every now and again, everyone cheats in soccer. Come on.
That's true.
Football, too.
We don't even have to say it, I guess.
We don't. I think everyone knows.
No.
Yeah.
Well, a nice connection because, my dad, Tom Rosenthal, born in Germany, so it all comes together.
There you go. Perfect.
Look at that.
And finally, although it's a bit of a cheat, but we are a United States-based podcast, the Americans did not qualify, to great disgrace for the entire nation, let's face it. And for a casual fan like me, crushing, because it's really fun to root for the U.S. every 4 years in this tournament, even though they never go deep. We lost that ability. Who is the NFL equivalent of the Americans, the United States? Give us a rundown of that squad.
Yeah, I really haven't come with an answer on this one because it's pretty hard, so I'll defer to you guys. But basically, I think there's a very questionable system in place, and that's kind of the main downfall. I think we're as talented in some ways as we've ever been in terms of like the actual pool of players, but a bunch of things sort of systemically have broken down. We haven't We fired our coach halfway through the qualifying cycle and didn't really replace him with someone with much of a plan. We have we have an amazing player, Christian Pulisic, and then very little supporting cast offensively. Defensively, we're a little bit of a mess too. So I don't know who that sounds like.
I know who this is.
Mark.
Well, now, there's a fresh start here, but it reminds me of the New York Giants. You have one amazing star player. You've got essentially, you said defense a little shaky. You fired your coach midway through the season. And you think the Giants, you keep thinking there's a lot of promise. You always, I picked them to go to the Super
Giants
Bowl.
The Giants have a pedigree.
The problem is
the history.
Another one came to my mind quickly when you said an organizational structural problem. A lot of talent, but then when you watch it on the field, kind of blah. And I thought about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, no. I was afraid you were going to say that.
I was thinking Bengals, too.
Because you're probably right.
It's the system. And, you know, maybe they're drafting some good players. They've got one big offensive superstar in A.J. Green. But then you watch it, and it's just.
That works, too.
We struggled to get out of the first round.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Oh, I was going to say the Jeff Fisher Rams.
That's even worse.
That is bad.
I mean, one thing, gold standard, on a scale of 1 to 10, not even being a U.S. soccer fan, but it's not like the sport was introduced to our country 5 years ago. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disgraceful is it that we could not get into this tournament?
It's a 1. It's a 1 because I basically, like, you have to imagine that, like, there's – I know that each year there's a certain division in the NFL that's not very good and, like, a 6 and 10 team gets in, but – CONCACAF, our region that we qualify from, which is North America, Caribbean, and Central America, like, you should be able to basically put together like a 4-12 season and get into the World Cup, and like, we couldn't do that.
So it's a 10. It's a 10. Right,
wow.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a 10. Gotcha. It's a 10.
Oh, a 10. Right. Okay.
Well, it's Zach, you've said it all. You came in here and you conquered. And what are you up to? We get a plug in for what you're doing right now or anything, even your Twitter handle, whatever you want.
Sure. Okay, great. I have a little company called Common Goal. We're a sports marketing and business development agency, and we do nerdy soccer stuff pretty much. So it's been good, but I miss you guys, and I want to come in to NFL HQ and get some like barbecue with you guys.
I don't know too many people that own little companies, so this is cool.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we got.
We knew Gold Standard when he was here. He was too smart for us. Like long term, he was.
Oh, yo, yes.
The better pass.
Yeah, we got barbecue with Zach about a year ago. We got to do that again. So
Follow
him on Twitter if you don't already at that damn Yank. And yes, he's Common Goal. Where is football? All that good stuff. Zach, thank you. You hit a home run, and I'm not shocked.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, man.
Thank you guys.
The Gold Standard. Turn that up, Lindsay. Okay. You can turn it down. All right. Before we go, yes, it is time to welcome in a man who he's the longest of the long shots. Let's face it. Here he comes into the studio. Dave Ely, the news senior news editor downstairs in the newsroom. And he's known Wes for a long time now. How long has it been, Dave?
4 or 5 years, maybe?
At least 5 years.
Yeah.
And so 4 or 5 years, you've known Wes, and you're both bald men, and also you've had Wes, how would you characterize your relationship with Dave, first starting as a fellow employee and then him being your boss?
It's a, I'd say a work relationship with mutual respect. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say we're tremendously close, just in the sense that we haven't shared a lot of experiences outside of the workplace. He did come to WrestleMania and drink the champagne of beers, so that's
he's been in your
that's
home.
Good.
He's been at your home,
but I do have a lot of respect for Dave. He makes good decisions. He manages the crew well.
And Vegas, of course, Dave Ely has you installed 290-1.
Ouch.
The odds have not moved all week though, because I think Vegas senses there's a shot at a miracle here. That what you're about to do, which is pitch yourself to be Wes's best man at his wedding in Tybee Island next year, there's a sense in the air that you have a shot here. That this isn't just some stupid podcast stunt. In
despite
late
Wes
June.
Just saying they're not tremendously close.
Right.
Well, there's time to make up too.
That this is the opportunity.
Wedding's not for a year. We can get close.
Right.
Touche.
So this is...
Is that a threat?
I mean...
So, let me just set... Before we throw it to Dave, let's just set the table here, Wes, because I want you... This is serious. And I want you to understand that you don't feel compelled to make a decision one way or another. If you do, if you're blown away one way or the other, certainly express it. But if you think maybe this is... He planted seeds, if you will. If he does that... You have every right to say, well, I'm not ready to make an announcement, but thank you, Dave.
I'm going to keep an open mind because there's nothing to lose by keeping an open mind. It would be good for the podcast. It would be good for me if out of nowhere I get a new best friend.
That's true.
You know, it's an unexpected gift if Dave Ely becomes my best friend.
And Connie Fox behind the glass.
One
now.
Way to put
yes.
it. I'm a fun
yes.
best friend.
How's that perspective, by the way?
It's very different. I have some distance from you guys physically. There's a wall now between us. But
always has been.
Glass.
Yeah, there has. I just always keep that wall up. Dave Ely, I don't know. I don't know if I ever call you by your full name, but how you feeling?
Have
right
you ever
now?
Have you even ever spoken before?
It's usually like,
yeah,
hey.
But it's usually like, cheers. Can I get? Can you grab me a beer from over there? Or like, do you want the sandwich?
We had a fun time bonding on the bench of the softball team 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, and that's good because you know all of us well. But now what this is about is Dave, and it's about Wes, and it's about one of the more sacred things anyone can do for anyone, which is to be the best man at a wedding.
Sacred.
I mean, that is special.
I would say that Vegas is slightly optimistic on this. You know, I was going to say it would be like Villanova knocking over Georgetown in 85.
Right. Ooh.
But if you factor in, look, just making the tournament, Dave and I haven't known each other our whole lives. I've built up all – I have brothers. I have friendships.
Yeah.
It would be like a 16 seed winning the entire tournament.
Right. I've put my pretend money on another bet that's out there. Plus 200, he doesn't even get invited to the wedding.
Were you even born in 1985, Wes?
A 16 seed did just win a game in the tournament.
Oh,
yeah. Won a game. Did win the tournament.
Ely's trying to be Cinderella.
But you're not. Yes.
I've always used myself as
a team. If you can win one game, you can win the next game.
You make the point that there was a 16-1 upset for the first time this year. But you're not looking just to get into the second round.
I want it all.
Okay. Now, without further ado, Dave Ely standing at a platform, looking spiffy in a jean jacket. And just things looking up for Dave. But now the pressure is on to give the speech of a lifetime to change the course of two men's lives. Dave?
Okay, so
the floor is yours.
I have three pieces of the platform. First off, you said we're not very close. That plays to my advantage. Think of all the tough decisions you're going to have to face. You pick some random person, everyone can be mad. You're not going to upset only one or two people. All of your brothers will be offended.
It's true.
Then they'll put the blame on me, which is the other part. You need a fall guy. Something goes wrong at the wedding. Blame it on Dave. There's an unruly family member. Blame it on Dave. I can even escort the family member outside of the wedding. Take care of that. I can be the fixer. There's a lot of things that I can do for you. And also, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but my college girlfriend once dumped me, so I know love when I see it.
Yeah. Yep.
You guys have the love that we did not have. So that I value that.
Well, you
I
had it, but she took it from you.
She did, but I don't think Lakeisha would do that to you.
No.
And also, if you want to hear a potential type of toast I'll give, I have a toast ready to give.
All right.
Kind of your tryout.
Yep. And you can't toast without champagne.
Wow.
Look at this. You're doing
great.
Whoa.
Look at this. You're winning me over.
This is great. I Ubered here today.
It's not only champagne, it's sparkling rosé, just the finest from California.
Wow.
Oh, what a moment.
Look at this. He's doing it. He's opening it up. Ladies and gentlemen, Ely has come. Like,
oh God.
Almost like Gallagher.
Oh,
this will be great.
No.
I was told I could.
He's going to take out a $30,000 camera. That'll
be fun. Do that.
The cork's not going to break anything.
Are you doing like a thing
there you
to
go.
Open that?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No, Jesus.
Oh.
All right.
Look at that.
Like a pro.
Whoa, whoa.
Like a pro.
Everyone gets a glass.
Let Vegas and the judges note that he opened it up without incident, and it's a perfect pour. A perfect
You need a best man that can pop bottles.
You know what you really need from a best man? The ability to make a moment come alive, and you just did.
Wow.
Way to go.
What a statement by Wes.
I would also
make a
factual note here. Wes is David Ely, or David Ely is Wes's boss, but also Lakeisha's boss. So you are dealing with...
You want a month on honeymoon.
I mean,
I can make that happen.
All right. We all have our glasses. Colleen, you want to run in here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well...
We got plenty of football cups to go around.
This is really... Well, okay, you've done the pour now. Now it's time to come in for the landing now,
Dave.
This
is yours, Mark.
All right, time to come in for the landing, Dave. This is...
Testing on, testing 1-2. Testing 1-2.
All right, here we go. This is Dave Ely now making his pitch, apparently. The floor is his.
Good evening, everyone. Now, I know what you all are thinking. Who is this guy? Because I don't know really any of you. My name's Dave Ely. I'm Chris's and Lakeisha's boss back in Culver at NFL Network. And you know what? God damn, this was a beautiful ceremony. I got tears in my eyes just thinking about this. And you know what? Again, I don't know if you've heard about this, but my college girlfriend once dumped me.
Oh, no.
Oh, brutal.
So
that one's dumb.
I know love. I know the love that bonds Chris and Lakeisha, and that's real love. That's the notebook love. To Wes and Lakeisha.
Wow. To Wes and
Lakeisha.
That was a powerful message.
Powerful. Nice pop culture reference.
Why buy the cow when you're giving away the milk for free right here?
Wow. So there it is. That's the toast. That's a
short and sweet. They're not here to see me.
Wow. And
he gets the David Ely experience. I say one thing, whoever does wind up being the best man, if it's not David Ely, that person is on the fence to come up with something better than he just did right there.
And just like you study the All-22 film, if it's not Dave, and let's face it, even despite that, and we don't know, we haven't heard from Wes yet, that you study what Dave just did.
You better.
It was very well done. All right, Wes, Dave is at your mercy right now. You have three options from as far as I can tell. Yes, you're my best man. And that, I mean, that would be fucking wild. No, it's just not as much as I like you, Dave. It's just not under consideration. It's too fast. Maybe. It's just the door's still open. And now it's Wes's time.
I don't want to shut down the dream. I'm not here for that. Yeah. If he's got a year, and if he wants to continue this, I'm open to listening to his strengths. I will say after this, after listening to that speech, like, I don't think he knows the person getting married very well. It was more like a maid of honor speech to give to shout out the notebook at my wedding.
They're very rarely good, by the way.
And listen, also to bring up his own romantic situation.
Maybe you did, Colleen, but in my experience, it's something that ladies have to work.
Well, it was a lot about, wasn't a lot this about you and Lakeisha necessarily. It was a lot about using him as a shield for the rest of your family, a fall guy. And
you know what? That was a good... I thought you made three excellent points. Blame it on Dave could easily become my credo.
It could be a hashtag.
Yes. Blame it on Dave.
By the way, like, the best man relationship doesn't just end when the wedding does. It goes on and on. So he could continue to blame you for things for the rest of his life.
I have been a best man before, gave the toast, and afterward, the wife came up to me and said, "I'm surprised that went well."
So, yeah, he could surprise everybody.
Okay. Well, yeah. I would have kept that one close to the vest.
Are you concerned, David Ely, because you mentioned you're the boss of Chris and Lakeisha, that you have the full support of both sides here, that you're going to – that Lakeisha is going to support this, that you're confident in your management of
Wes strikes me as the guy that will make this decision for the best man that he wants.
Also, month-long honeymoon on the line.
Interesting angle, just dismissing the wife right there.
Yeah, well.
I'm playing true to say. Again, blame it on Dave.
You had the window. We're going to now – he's keeping it open. Wes is I think that's a victory for you. We'll see what Vegas says about it, but I think that's a small victory. That might be a 16-1 upset, but now you're in the second round against better competition potentially.
Ely, you have a year now to court Wes. What's the first thing you will do?
Top off his cup.
Oh,
This guy just gets it.
Whoa.
Extra points.
Vegas just gave him a few points there.
All right. There you go. Dave, nice job. Well done. And love will come calling for you eventually. Actually, I have some sparrows in the street that's saying, hey, things aren't so bad on Love Lane.
This could be a little tit for tat, so to speak.
Yeah. After just like a large scale disaster.
No pun intended.
In his previous long-term relationship, things are finally looking up. Looking up Ely's way. So great times. Dave, great work.
Thanks, guys.
Wes, thank you for your time.
This
is a sacred process.
As I said, this is a sacred process, and there's nothing to be gained by shutting this down. I mean, there's only something to be gained by considering how great Dave Ely could become a part of my life.
You are my boss, too, so I just want to say I thought you did an excellent job. You handled that very, very well.
There's only leverage to be gained by having your boss under your thumb for an entire year.
All right.
Angle I was coming from.
We will be back. And by we, I mean the Around the NFL podcast. I will be going away next week. So the gentleman will hold down the fort. And there will be another show on Monday. So make sure you check that out. Check out the subreddit Around the NFL and leave comments on Around.
I'm not going to be here if you're not going to be here.
Okay. Well, we can work that out after the show. There might be a large-scale shutdown of the operation. So do all that, and thank you for listening. This is Dan Hansa signing off. For Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Connie Fox, Dave Ely, senior news editor.
Well done, Dave.
Nice.
Till Monday!